Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Arizona Daily Sun for April 30th, 2025. I'm Flagstaff volunteer reader Gary. Front page articles include President eases auto tariffs burden, Trump's approval rating steady, Harvard task forces find widespread fear and bigotry, Amazon and White House crosshairs over report of displaying tariff costs. Now moving to our first front page article, President eases auto tariffs burden. President Donald Trump signed an order to soften the blow of his auto tariffs on Tuesday with a mix of credits and relief from other levies on materials, and his trade team touted its first deal with a foreign trading partner, developments that eased investor worries about Trump's erratic trade policies. The change comes the day Trump was headed to Michigan, cradle of the U.S. auto industry, and just days before a fresh set of 25% import taxes was set to kick in on automotive components. The trip, on the eve of his 100th day in office, comes as Americans take an increasingly dim view of Trump's economic stewardship, with indications his tariffs will weigh on growth and could drive up inflation and unemployment. In his latest partial reversal of tariff policies, the president agreed to provide carmakers with credits for up to 15% of the value of vehicles as assembled domestically. These could be applied against the value of imported parts, allowing time to bring supply chains back home. Auto industry leaders had lobbied the administration furiously during the weeks since Trump's first unveiled his 25% tariffs on imported vehicles and auto parts. The levies aimed at forcing automakers to reshore manufacturing domestically had threatened to scramble a North American automotive production network integrated across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It offers the industry a little relief as companies invest in more U.S. production, Trump said as he left Washington for Michigan. We just wanted to help them. If they can't get parts, we didn't want to penalize them. The uncertainty unleashed across the auto sector by Trump's tariffs remained on full display Tuesday when GM pulled its annual forecast, even as it reported strong quarterly sales and profits. It's an unusual move. The carmaker also opted to delay a scheduled conference call with analysts until later in the week after the details of the tariff change were known. U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick told CNBC he had reached one deal with a foreign power that should permanently ease the reciprocal tariffs Trump plans to impose. Lutnick declined to identify the country, saying the deal was pending local approvals. I have a deal done, but I need to wait for their prime minister and their parliament to give its approval, Lutnick said. Lutnick's comments helped further lift stock prices that had been battered by Trump's moves to reshape global trade and force goods makers to shift production to the U.S. The benchmark S&P 500 index closed 0.6% higher for a sixth day of gains, its longest streak of gains since November. Trump and his team aimed to strike 90 trade deals during a 90-day pause on his reciprocal tariffs announced earlier in April. His administration has repeatedly said it was negotiating bilateral trade deals with dozens of countries. A chief Trump goal is to bring down a massive U.S. goods trade deficit, which shot to a record in March on the surge of imports aimed at front-running levies. The next article, Trump's approval rating steady. President Donald Trump approval rating held steady this week, but discontent is rising over his handling of the economy and hardline approach to immigration amid concerns about a global trade war and a push to increase deportations, a new Reuters Ipsos poll found. The three-day poll, completed April the 27th, showed 42% of respondents approved of the Republican leader's performance in office, unchanged from a prior Reuters Ipsos poll conducted a week earlier. The share of people who disapproved of his presidency was also steady at 53%. The share of respondents who approve of Trump's economic stewardship declined a percentage point to 36%, the lowest level in his current term or in his 2017-2021 presidency, while disapproval rose 5 points to 56%. Fears of a recession have surged in recent weeks as Trump has launched a global trade war, hiking tariffs so high, the economists warned that trade with some countries, notably China, could grind nearly to a halt. The moves have shaken investors and companies. On Tuesday, for example, delivery giant United Parcel Service said it would cut 20,000 jobs. Inflation continued to be a sore spot. Trump's victory in the November presidential election came after inflation accelerated under his Democratic predecessor, Joe Biden. But the pace of inflation has barely eased under Trump, and 59% of respondents to the latest Reuters Ipsos poll disapproved of his handling of the cost of living in America, compared with 32% who approved. Trump gets higher marks on his performance on immigration than on any other issue Reuters Ipsos poll on, with 45% of respondents approving of his handling of it, steady with the prior funding. But discontent also grew here, with his disapproval rating on the topic ticking 2 points higher to 48%. Trump launched an aggressive enforcement campaign after taking office on January the 20th, sending troops to the southern border and pledging to deport millions of immigrants in the U.S. illegally. Democrats and civil rights advocates have criticized Trump's heightened enforcement tactics, including the cases of several children who are U.S. citizens who were recently deported with their parents. One of the children has a rare form of cancer, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. Some 11% of respondents in the Reuters Ipsos poll said immigrants was the most important problem facing the United States, compared to 14% in late January. The share who said the economy was the top concern in the latest poll was little changed at 22%. The share who said the biggest problem was political extremism and threats to democracy stood at 26%, up from 20% in late January. The Reuters Ipsos poll surveyed 1,029 U.S. adults nationwide and has a margin of error of about 3 percentage points. Now moving to our next article, Harvard task forces find widespread fear and bigotry. Harvard University released two reports on Tuesday that found many Jewish, Israeli, Arab, Muslim, and Palestinian students had experienced bigotry and abuse as its Massachusetts campus was roiled by protests in 2024, with some fearing exclusion for airing their political views. The reports were the result of two task forces set up in January of 2024, one on combating anti-Semitism and anti-Israeli bias, the other on combating anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, and anti-Palestinian bias. The reports made recommendations that Harvard review its admissions, appointments, curriculum, and orientation and training programs, as well as change its disciplinary processes. They come as Harvard is facing extraordinary pressure from U.S. President Donald Trump's administration, which last month said it was freezing more than $2.2 billion in grants, mostly for medical and other scientific research. Trump, a Republican who returned to the White House in January, has said Harvard and other U.S. universities foster anti-American, anti-Semitic, and Marxist ideologies. Harvard, a private university, has since sued the government, saying its actions violate its constitutional free speech rights and academic freedom. Harvard's president, Dr. Alan Garber, said the reports included searing personal accounts drawn from listening sessions held last year. Jewish, Israeli, and Zionist community members reported experiencing our campus climate as unwelcoming, he wrote in a letter accompanying the reports. In some cases, they hid overt markers of their identities to avoid confrontation. Muslim, Arab, Palestinian, and pro-Palestinian community members reported feeling judged, misrepresented, and silenced. He wrote that Harvard would do more to teach its students how to have productive and civil dialogue with people from different backgrounds and would promote viewpoint diversity. Moving to our next front page article, Amazon in White House crosshairs over report of displaying tariff costs. Amazon on Tuesday said its low-cost haul unit had considered listing import charges for goods in light of new tariffs, but denied looking at such a plan for its main website after the White House accused it of a hostile political act. The Seattle retailer spent a chaotic morning denying a report from Punchbowl News that it had planned to display prices showing tariffs' impact on Amazon.com. It acknowledged that it had considered it for certain inexpensive China-made products on haul, but then rejected the idea. The confusion initially prompted a 2% drop in Amazon shares after White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt called the report pricing plan a hostile and political act by Amazon. Amazon denied the initial story. The company said its smaller haul division, which competes for low-cost buyers with Temu and Shein, had mulled displaying import levies. The team that runs our ultra-low-cost Amazon haul store considered the idea of listing import charges on certain products. This was never approved and is not going to happen, a company spokesperson said, adding that teams discuss ideas all the time. Amazon shares recovered losses and were up slightly in afternoon trading. President Donald Trump has imposed a tsunami of tariffs on U.S. trading partners, including China, which has seen tariff costs rise by 145% since Trump took office, sending many corporations scrambling. Trump called Amazon founder and executive chairman Jeff Bezos to complain about the Punchbowl News report, a White House official said. Jeff Bezos is very nice, Trump told reporters. He solved the problem very quickly. He did the right thing. Automakers and others have said new tariffs could drastically hike the cost of consumer goods. Amazon's haul site, which debuted in November, is particularly susceptible to tariffs because it is dependent on goods shipped directly from China, similar to popular low-cost site Temu. In exchange for lower prices, customers face longer shipping times. Trump this month signed an executive order that closes a trade loophole known as de minimis that has allowed low-value packages from China and Hong Kong to enter the United States free of duties. The order takes effect on May 2nd. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer urged national retailers to show the true cost of Trump's tariffs. To large businesses that sell to consumers, I say, show your customers how much tariffs are hurting in their pocketbooks, Schumer said. U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Trump ally, jumped into the fray. Aha, come on, America, Amazon, she posted on X. I was getting so excited about the Amazon tariff tracker so I could avoid buying anything from China. Reuters reported on Monday that some 30 third-party merchants who previously sold China-made goods during Amazon's premier July Prime Day shopping event are sitting it out this year or reducing the amount of discounted merchandise they offer. The company on Tuesday announced the return of Prime Day this year, but did not provide specific dates, a departure from prior announcements. Trump was a frequent critic of Bezos during the Republicans' first term, particularly over what he said was unfair coverage by the Washington Post, which Bezos owns. Bezos and Amazon have appeared to try to reconcile with Trump, including by buying a documentary about the First Lady, Melania Trump, for $40 million, contributing to the president's inaugural fund, and showing episodes of Trump's reality show, The Apprentice, on Prime Video. The strategy to remain in the White House's good graces seemed to have been working. In a March interview with The Atlantic that was published Friday, Trump said of Bezos, he's 100%, he's been great. But Levitt on Tuesday cited a 2021 report by Reuters that the tech company had partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm. So this is another reason why Americans should buy American, Levitt said, underscoring the Trump administration's efforts to shore up critical supply chains and boost domestic manufacturing. Amazon in 2021 said it complies with all applicable laws and regulations wherever we operate, and China is no exception. The White House tweaked a link to the Reuters report earlier Tuesday. The White House did not immediately comment after Amazon denied the tariffs report. Now moving to our next article. In a poll, Democrats uncertain of party's leader. Democratic voters don't know who their party's leader is, according to new polling. The Center Square Voters Voice Poll asked 1,187 Democratic voters, who, in your view, is the leader of the Democratic Party? About 38% said there isn't one, or they don't know. So none or don't know was the most popular answer, David Beyer, head of research at Noble Predictive Insights, told the Center Square. So really, you have a lot of leaderless right now. Really, you have a situation where nobody knows. The Center Square's Voters Voice Poll, conducted April 15 through 18 by Noble Predictive, surveyed 187 Democrats, 1,089 Republicans, and 251 non-leaning independents. The Center Square's Voter Voice poll is one of only six national tracking polls in the United States. It was scheduled to coincide with Trump's 100th day in office, which is Tuesday, April 29. Only voters who identified as Democrats were asked the question about who their leader is. After 38% of Democrats who said there is no party leader, or they don't know who their leader is, the second most popular response was former President Kamala Harris at 10%. Harris replaced then-President Joe Biden at the top of the Democrats' ticket last year after Biden exited the race. She went on to lose the presidential election to Donald Trump, who won the national popular vote and all of the swing states. After Harris, U.S. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, both of New York, were each the choice of 7% of Democrats surveyed. And U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont was the choice of 6%. Sanders was followed by U.S. Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez of New York and Biden at 5% each, and former President Barack Obama and U.S. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey at 3%. Democrats, they just don't know, right? Byler said. And they're absolutely spread. AOC, Barack Obama, Biden, Bill of or Hillary Clinton, Cory Booker, Hakeem Jeffries, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was the second biggest one, but she's only at 10%. Other Democratic politicians, you had this scattering where some people were like, it's Josh Shapiro, it's, you know, this Random House member. The Clintons polled at 1%, as did California Governor Gavin Newsom, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California, and Democratic National Committee Chair Ken Martin. No other individuals reached at least 1%. Our next article, EPA canceling environmental justice grants, Washington Post reports. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is in the process of canceling almost 800 grants, including all aimed at promoting environmental justice, the Washington Post reported on Tuesday, citing comments by an agency official in a court filing. The number of grants slated for cancellation is twice the amount previously reported, the Post reported. The filing marks the first public acknowledgement by the agency of the total number of grants slated for termination, the newspaper reported. The newspaper cited a document filed last week in a federal court case in Rhode Island. The case was brought by a coalition of nonprofits who challenged the Trump administration's freezing of billions of dollars in grants that were authorized by Congress under climate investment and infrastructure laws passed under previous President Joe Biden. EPA is in the process of sending out the formal termination cancellation notices to all of the impacted grantees, EPA career official Daniel Coogan wrote in the filing. EPA has already sent out formal notices to approximately 377 grantees. For the remaining approximately 404 grantees, EPA plans to issue notices within the next 2 weeks. You're listening to the Arizona Daily Sun from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. Now for some articles from the American West. United Utah Forward Party merge after first-of-its-kind vote. Up next, a new name. Two of Utah's centrist parties have officially joined forces in hopes of growing a movement to break away from a two-party us-versus-them system. United Utah Party and Utah Forward held combined convention on April the 26th at Salt Lake Community College in Taylorsville. Both parties voted almost unanimously to approve a memorandum of understanding to formally merge under the umbrella of the National Forward Party. Moving to our next article, Alaska becomes first state to require warnings about alcohol cancer link. Alaska bars and liquor stores will be required to post signs warning of alcohol's link to cancer under a bill that became law on Friday. The new sign mandate to go into effect August 1st makes Alaska the first U.S. state to require such health warnings. The warnings about the alcohol cancer relationship will be added to already mandated warnings about the dangers that pregnant women's consumption can lead to birth defects. Moving to our next article, Proposal to raise lodging tax by 1% could bring in $30 million annually for wildlife protection. Oregon lawmakers are considering a proposal to increase by 1% a state tax on hotel, camping, and air stays that would raise up to $30 million a year for state wildlife conservation. The proposal has garnered widespread support among hunting, fishing, and conservation groups, who say the state has long underfunded species conservation programs at Oregon's Fish and Wildlife Departments, leaving gamesmen, nonprofits, and wealthy donors to fill the gaps. It also has received widespread opposition among local travel, tourism, and restaurant associations, who say an increase in tax will deter visitors and businesses from planning trips and hosting conferences and other events in Oregon. Now, moving to some global articles. Power restored in Spain and Portugal as nations seek answers following blackout. Spain and Portugal restored power after the worst blackout in their history, although authorities offered little explanation for what had caused it or how they would prevent it happening again. Traffic lights were working, train and metro services slowly returned, and schools reopened. Commuters battled with delays to get back to work after an outage that had left people stranded in lifts and cut off from phone contact with their families. The sudden outage had seen the equivalent of 60% of demand in Spain drop in 5 seconds around midday Monday, while Spanish grid operator REE on Tuesday ruled out a cyber attack as the cause. Spain's high court said it will investigate whether the country's energy infrastructure had suffered a terrorist strike, while Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said his government had not ruled out any hypothesis. We must not rush to conclusions and commit errors through haste, Sanchez said on Tuesday. We will find out what happened in those 5 seconds. REE said it had identified 2 incidents of power generation loss, probably from solar plants, in Spain's southwest that caused instability in the electric system and led to a breakdown of its interconnection with France. Spain is one of Europe's biggest producers of renewable energy, and the blackout sparked debate again about whether the volatility of supply from solar or wind made its power systems more vulnerable. Redilia, which owns Red Eléctrica, warned in February in its annual report that it faced a risk of disconnections due to the high penetration of renewables without the technical capabilities necessary for an adequate response in the face of disturbances. SEAT said power returned to its Barcelona car plant at 1 a.m. Tuesday, but it still wasn't at full production. Volkswagen said its plants in Navarra lost a day of production equivalent to 1,400 cars since it was not able to restart until 2:30 p.m. Tuesday. Madrid authorities provided free buses to get people to work on Tuesday, and the metro and some trains resumed operating, though with delays. Our next article. India shuts half of Kashmir tourist spots in security review after attack. More than half of the tourist destinations in India's insurgency-torn Kashmir region were closed to the public from Tuesday, according to a government order reviewed by Reuters, in a move to tighten security after last week's attack on holiday makers. The assaultants, segregated men, asked their names and targeted Hindus before shooting them at close range in the Palagram area, killing 26 people, officials said. And survivors said. India has identified the 3 attackers, including 2 Pakistani nationals, as terrorists, waging a violent revolt in Muslim-majority Kashmir. Pakistan has denied any role and called for a neutral investigation. Hindu-majority India accuses Islamic Pakistan of funding and encouraging militancy in Kashmir, the Himalayan region both nations claim in full but rule in part. Islamabad says it only provides moral and diplomatic support to a Kashmir demand for self-determination. Tensions between the nuclear-armed South Asian neighbors have increased since the attack, along with calls in India for action against Pakistan. Prime Minister Narendra Modi met Indian military chiefs on Tuesday at his residence, along with Indian Defense Minister and the National Security Advisor, a government source said. Modi, the source said, told the military chiefs that they had the freedom to decide India's response in the attack. Delhi and Islamabad have taken a raft of measures against each other since the Kashmir attack. India has suspended the Indus Waters Treaty, an important river-sharing pact. Pakistan has closed its airspace to Indian Airlines. The government of India's Jammu and Kashmir territories has decided to shut 48 of the 87 tourist destinations in Kashmir and its enhanced security at the remaining ones. William and Kate return to Scotland for a wedding anniversary. Britain's Prince William and his wife Kate visited a picturesque Scottish island on Tuesday to celebrate their 14th wedding anniversary and carry out their highest profile joint trip this year. William, the heir to the throne, married Kate Middleton, as she was then called, on April the 29th, 2011, in Westminster Abbey in a ceremony watched by millions around the world. They had met a decade earlier when they were both students at the University of St. Andrews on Scotland's east coast. Rather than marking the occasion at home, the Prince and Princess of Wales, one of the world's most glamorous couples, returned to Scotland for a two-day visit to the Isles of Mull and Iona, part of the Hebrides archipelago off the west coast. Moving to our next article, France passes sweeping new drug law as cocaine surge drives crime wave. France lawmakers on Tuesday approved a sweeping counter-narcotics law to equip the state with tougher tools to fight a sharp rise in drug crime following a record-breaking surge of South American cocaine into Europe. The new law will create a national prosecutor's office for organized crime, isolate dangerous kingpins in prisons to prevent them from running their empires from behind bars, and allow for the shutdown of businesses that launder drug money. The use of cooperating witnesses will be expanded, while assets will be confiscated unless their owners can attest to their provenance. The bill, which derives from a 2024 Senate report that warned France faced a tipping point from rising drug violence, was not without controversy. A measure to provide police with an automatic backdoor into encrypted messages services like WhatsApp and Signal was removed by lawmakers during the debate. Centrist lawmaker Sylvain Mallard told Reuters tougher laws are needed to tackle a problem that is affecting nations across the continent. Countries in Europe, like Holland and Belgium, are under attack, Mallard said. All countries with major ports particularly affected, and this is the case in France. We must combat this scourge, which has grown enormously in recent years, by updating the legislation. The new law comes amid growing awareness of France's struggle with organized crime. A spate of attacks on prisons across France, which the government says are in response to its push to make jails less hospitable to drug barons, has underlined the threat to the state posed by the narcotics trade. Now moving to sports, NBA mulls All-Star game change, USA versus world. The NBA is considering changing the format of the 2026 All-Star game in Los Angeles to an international competition. Commissioner Adam Silver said in March that the league is going back to the drawing board following its unpopular three-game mini-tournament at the 2025 All-Star Game. On Monday, Silver said an international format pitting U.S.-born players against a roster of foreign-born players is appealing because the game will air on NBC during the middle of that network's Winter Olympics coverage. Given the strong interest we've seen in international basketball competitions, most recently in last summer's Olympics in Paris, we're discussing concepts with the Players Association that focuses on NBA players representing their countries or regions instead of the more traditional format that we've used in the past, he told Athletic. Brian Sproul, the NBA's president of league operations, added that NBC is very much leaning into the idea of a U.S. versus rest of the world format for the February 15 game at the Inuit Dome in Los Angeles. The Inuit Dome, home of the Los Angeles Clippers, will also host the basketball competition at the 2028 Summer Olympics. So I think all of these factors, when they come together, it presents an enormous opportunity for us to do something with an international competition instead of the traditional All-Stars formats that we've used. Now moving to the next article, Boise State's Danielson gets five-year deal. Boise State coach Spencer Danielson finalized a new five-year, $11 million contract on Tuesday after leading the Broncos to the college football playoffs last season. The average annual value of $2.2 million doubles the salary Danielson earned in his first full season running the program in 2024. Danielson, 36, guided the Broncos to a Mountain West Conference title and finished 12-2 following 31-14 loss in the CFP to Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl on December 31st. He was named the MWC Coach of the Year. Thank you, Athletic Director Jeremiah Dickey, and the entire Boise State University leadership team for trusting me, our coaching staff, and our student athletes to represent this great university and community each and every day, Danielson said. Now moving to some business news. GM pulls forecast due to tariffs as nervous consumers rush to buy. General Motors on Tuesday pulled its annual forecast, reflecting the uncertain effect of President Donald Trump's global trade war, even as it reported strong quarterly results. In an unusual move, the automaker pushed its investor call to Thursday as it wanted to wait before commenting on changes to tariff policy. GM's shares fell about 2.6% in pre-market trading. The company in January forecast net income between $11.2 billion to $12.5 billion for 2025, which did not include the impact of automotive tariffs. Trump's vacillating tariff policy has caused uncertainty in the automotive sector, with analysts estimating that new car prices could rise by thousands of dollars. The future impact of tariffs could be significant, GM Chief Financial Officer Paul Jacobson said on a call with the media. We're telling folks not to rely on the prior guidance and we'll update when we have more information about tariffs. The automaker's costs were up $400 million from a year ago, Jacobson said, even though the underlying business is still performing pretty well. GM's quarterly results were partly hurt by fewer wholesale deliveries of the profitable full-size pickups and SUVs because of several weeks of downtime at assembly plants for upgrades and at a January supplier fire. The company said on Tuesday it was temporarily pausing its share buyback activity pending more clarity on the economic situation. It had in February decided to repurchase 2 billion of shares by the first half of this year, with the rest to be bought at any point of the company's choosing. CFRA research analyst Garrett Nelson said news related to tariff modification could buffer potential losses. Now moving to our next article, oil prices fall 3% to a two-week low. New York. Oil prices fell about 3% to a two-week low on Tuesday as investors braced for OPEC Plus to boost output and worried U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs would hit the global economy and slow demand for the fuel. Brent crude futures fell by $1.70 or 2.6% to $64.16 per barrel at a 1:34 p.m. EDT. U.S. West Texas intermediate crude dropped by $1.55 or 2.5% to $60.50. Both benchmarks were on track for their lowest closes since April 10th. Trump's aggressive tariffs on imports into the U.S. have made it probable the global economy will slip into recession this year, according to a majority of economists in a Reuters poll. China, hit with the steepest tariffs, has responded with its own levies against U.S. imports, stoking a trade war between the top two oil-consuming nations. Analysts have sharply lowered their oil demand and price forecast. Trade between China and the U.S. has slowed to a semi-embargo-type flow. Every day that passes without some kind of a deal with any of our significant trading partners brings us one day closer to a global demand destruction situation, Bob Yager, director of energy futures at Mizuho, said in a note. The U.S. trade deficit in goods widened to a record high in March as businesses ramped up efforts to bring in merchandise ahead of Trump's sweeping tariffs, suggesting trade was a large drag on economic growth in the first quarter. The fallout from Trump's trade war reverberated through the corporate world on Tuesday as delivery giant UPS said it would cut 20,000 jobs to lower costs. Automaker General Motors pulled its outlook and pushed its investor call to Thursday, depending possible changes in trade policy. Moving to our next article, Spotify's high payroll taxes hurt profit, shares slide. Spotify forecast second quarter profit below market estimates on Tuesday due to employee salary-related taxes, taking the shine off its strong subscriber growth and sending the shares of the Swedish music streaming giant down 6% before the bell. The company's profitability is closely watched by investors looking for signs that it can bolster margins after years of prioritizing user growth. While cost-cutting initiatives and price increases have aided profit in recent quarters, its latest earnings took a hit from taxes tied to higher salaries and benefits that jumped sharply due to a rise in the company's stock price. Spotify took 76 million euros in charges in the first quarter, offsetting lower marketing costs and weighing on its operating profit of 509 million euros, which was below estimates of 518.2 million euros, according to data compiled by LSEG. A second quarter profit forecast of 539 million euros includes 18 million euros in payroll taxes and was below estimates of 557.8 million euros. still strong subscriber growth showed that efforts to draw users with more video content and AI-powered services, including playlists generated with a simple written prompt, were working. Now moving to our next article. OpenAI unveils shopping features with ChatGPT search update. OpenAI on Monday said it has updated ChatGPT's web search capabilities to improve online shopping for users with personalized product recommendations, with images, reviews, and direct purchase links. The generative AI pioneer's search feature has gained popularity since its introduction last year and has become one of the most sought-after tools, with over 1 billion web searches in the past week, the company said. The update will be available in its default AI model, GPT-40. It will be accessible to all ChatGPT users worldwide, including Pro, Plus, and free tiers, as well as those using the service without logging in. Users will receive tailored product recommendations across categories like fashion, beauty, home goods, and electronics when they pose specific questions. The update will exclude advertisements, and the company will not receive commissions from purchases made through the ChatGPT platform, OpenAI said. The shopping results will be independently determined and will rely on structured metadata from third-party sources, such as pricing, product descriptions, and reviews. The move comes as OpenAI is moving to challenge Alphabet's domination in search by providing a more user-focused alternative, contrasting with Google's advertising heavy search results. In February, OpenAI's weekly activity users surged past 400 million, a company spokesperson told Reuters. Now moving to some science articles. Problem with Firefly's Alpha rocket puts Lockheed satellite in shallow orbit. Firefly Aerospace said its sixth mission of its Alpha rocket suffered a mishap in space after launching from California on Tuesday, putting a satellite owned by Lockheed Martin in a lower-than-planned orbit, suggesting a potential mission failure. Firefly said in a post on X that the mishap occurred during separation of Alpha's core stage booster with its second stage roughly 2.5 minutes after liftoff. The faulty separation impacted the stage 2 Lightning engine nozzle, putting the vehicle in a lower than planned orbit. The company said it was working with Lockheed to determine the root cause of the failure. Lockheed did not immediately respond to a question on whether it believes its satellite could still reach its orbit or otherwise survive the mishap. We're still gathering and analyzing all the data to confirm the status of the payload, a Firefly spokesperson said in an email. The mishap tallies 4 Alpha failures since its first flight in 2021, as Firefly, which achieved a breakthrough success in landing on the moon in March, tries to build its centerpiece launch business in a market dominated by Elon Musk's SpaceX. As Alpha ascended into space on Tuesday, a company live stream of the flight showed several particles flying off the rocket upon stage separation, as the second stage boosted the Lockheed satellite further into space. On-screen altitude and speed data had disappeared moments before, earlier than usual. A camera on the second stage showed its engines firing, but apparently without its nozzle, as the first stage booster fell adrift miles away back to Earth. The Lockheed satellite remained intact and attached to the second stage while it rocketed in a circular motion with Earth's horizon in the background swaying. A little bit of motion there, noted one of the live stream's two anchors, who did not acknowledge any issue with the flight. The mission was the first in an agreement between Firefly and Lockheed, covering up to 25 missions over the next 5 years. Tuesday's payload was a satellite self-funded by Lockheed called LM-400, a technology demonstrator, meaning to achieve space technologies and lower risk for its customers, such as the Pentagon. Now, moving to our next article. Granular systems such as sand piles or rock slides are all around us. Research will help scientists describe how they work. Did you eat cereal this morning, or have you walked on a gravel path? Maybe you had a headache and had to take a pill. If you answered any of these questions with a yes, you interacted with a granular system today. Scientists classify any collection of small hard particles, such as puffed rice, sand grains, or pills, as granular systems. Even though everyone has interacted with these kinds of systems, describing the physics of how the particles collectively act when they are close together is surprisingly difficult. Granular systems sometimes move like a fluid. Think of an hourglass where sand, a very typical granular material, flows from one half of the glass to the other. But if you've run on a beach, you know that sand can also act like a solid. You can move over it without sinking through the sand. As a geologist, I'm interested in understanding when a granular system flows and when it has strength and behaves like a solid. This line of research is very important for many agricultural and industrial applications, such as moving corn kernels or pills in a pipeline or a chute. Understanding when a granular system might flow is also essential for geological hazard assessments. For example, geologists would like to know whether the various boulders making up the slope of a mountain are stable or whether they will move with a rock slide. Now moving to our next article, FDA approves first cell-based gene therapy for rare genetic skin disorder. U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday approved Albion Therapeutics gene therapy for a rare skin disorder. The gene therapy, called Zevaskin, is approved to treat adult and pediatric patients with recessive dystrophic epidermolysis bullosa. Patients with the disorder have extreme fragile skin, with blisters and tears forming large wounds all over the body that are difficult to heal and can remain open for years. The disorder results from a defect in the COL7A1 gene, which prevents the production of a critical type of collagen responsible for anchoring the upper and lower layers of the skin. The current standard of care treatment is daily wound care and protective bandaging. The treatment is expected to be available in the third quarter of 2025 at specific treatment centers and will have a list price of $3.1 million. The company expects 10 to 14 patients to be treated this year. The Zevaskin, chemically known as PrezCell, works by adding healthy COL7A1 genes to patients' skin cells and transplanting them back to the patient through a skin graft to heal the large and chronic wounds. The FDA's approval was based on data from early to mid-stage and late-stage studies in which the therapy showed significant healing of wounds and pain reductions after treatment. Current treatment options include Krystal Biotech's Vyjuvek, approved in 2023, which is used to treat smaller-sized wounds. Last year, Vyjuvek brought in sales of $209.5 million. Patients being able to use both approaches at the same time will help treat the disorder more effectively and hopefully make the disease chronic but livable, said Britt Copeland's executive director, and at DEBRA of America, a nonprofit patient support organization. The FDA has delayed decision on marketing approval for Stealth Biotherapeutics treatment for a rare genetic condition that typically affects boys, the drug developer said on Tuesday. The Needham, Massachusetts-based company lead drug elinzanetide is a potential treatment for Barth syndrome, a condition that affects the heart muscles, immune system, and delays growth. This marks the second delay for the review of the drug, as the health regulator in January has said it required more time to evaluate additional data submitted by the company as part of its application. Currently, there are no FDA-approved therapies for the treatment of Barth syndrome. The latest delay comes during a period of mass layoffs, including the ouster of high-ranking scientists at the FDA as part of a major overhaul under Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The changes have prompted concerns that regulatory review of treatments could be disrupted. That's all the time we have for the Arizona Daily Sun. For Sun Sounds of Arizona and Flagstaff, I'm volunteer reader Gary. Thanks for listening.